This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer. The Russian economy. Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution joins watching the Russian economy since before the war started in 22. We have a headline from the BBC within hours. UK targets Russian oil market and fresh sanctions. Michael, my understanding is that the oil market is collapsing on Russia. I don't remember if they're making profit or they're losing with every barrel of oil. These additional sanctions, what will they achieve? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. They're very much dependent on oil, very much dependent on the world price of oil. The world price of oil is declining. Today it is $62 per barrel. The forecast by the International Energy Agency is $62 during the entire fourth quarter of 25. And up to $52, down to $52 in 2026. On every $10 decline like this, the Russians are losing about $30 billion in their overall oil supply because it is 7.3 million barrels a day. And so these are very much reliant. And now all sorts of sanctions add up because here and there they sanction the so-called shadow fleet, the tankers that transport Russian oil. Remember the most important substitution which has happened in the last 4 years. The Russians were supplying pipeline oil to Europe. That's how it was. 4 million barrels a day. It's all gone, except for Slovakia and Hungary, which are landlocked countries, and it is just 200,000 barrels a day. So generally, they moved all this oil to Asia, and it is seaborne. So they purchased these tankers. Now they're relying on shipping in tankers to China and India, the same 4 million barrels a day. And each time one of these tankers is sanctioned, each time they have to pay more for transportation costs, this increases the discount. And the discount on Russian oil is now to $13 to $14 per barrel. So they're really losing money on all this. Still it is profitable. Still this export continues. And it will continue. But it chips off their oil revenues and this chips off their budget tax revenues.
We go to what effect does it have on the Russian economy? Remember, they've been calling themselves military Keynesianism, which is everything for the front, which means all the money they've got is being poured into the defense industry, routinely reporting a shortage of workers everywhere, except for now we have this from Reuters. Oddly, Reuters, from railways and automobiles to rentals, coal, diamonds, and cement, some of Russia's biggest industrial companies are putting employees on furlough or cutting staff as the war economy slows, domestic demand stalls, and exports dry up. I think this is the first time we've seen a headline like this, isn't it, Michael, in the years of warfare?
Not the first time, but generally it's been going on for quite a while, which proves they run an experiment. You see, it's very nice to observe what economic theory says and how it happens in the field. And what happens in the field is that when the productive capacity is exhausted, you can pour as much money as you want. It turns out into inflation because they do not have factors of production anymore to use this money. So their natural resources, they cannot produce as much as they used to, and at the same time, without Western technology, their productivity is not increasing, and so they have to stop production in one sector or another. The coal sector is especially hit, and now all the forecasts for the end of 2025 or for 26 are lower. The IMF just issued a new forecast. Remember, in April, they said the Russian growth in 2025 will be 1.5% compared with 4% in previous years. Now they're saying it is 0.6. Just half percentage point effectively. And the Russian own official forecast used to be 2.5-3%. Now they're saying 0.7. They converge with the IMF. So this means that it is for the entire year 2025, which means that the fourth quarter will be zero. And then we have the global Standard and Poor PMI, Purchasing Managers Index, PMI Purchasing Managers Index, which says that anything under 50 is contraction. And they indicate contraction. They're saying now in the manufacturing sector, it is 48. And it is in the services sector, it is 47. And the composite for all the economy, it is 46.6, which means that they predict contraction in the end of 2025 and probably 26 just as well. So they have exhausted the fiscal capacity. They have exhausted how much the budgetary subsidies and the budgetary this financing of the war can achieve in terms of real growth.
Reuters, Kyrgyzstan GDP plus 10% January to September of this year, year on year, as Ukraine war reroutes supply chains. That's the cutout they've been using. Is that correct, Michael, in order to deal with China? Kyrgyzstan.
Yes. There is a Russian proverb which says that for some people and for some countries, war is like the second mother. So what happens that Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, and some other former Soviet states, which are now Russian neighbors, they have greatly benefited in they found a new niche in the market. It is sanctions avoidance. So whenever the Chinese cannot process, because their banks are afraid of the United States Federal Reserve, that their connection with the United States banks, the Chinese banks do not process payments for Russian oil that the Chinese companies are buying, they go to Kyrgyzstan. The Chinese banks transfer it to Kyrgyzstan. Kyrgyzstan has become a major hub for payments processing, a major financial center for all sanctioned transactions. The same thing with Uzbekistan and others. So they are great beneficiaries of the sanctions because they work in this niche to help Russia to avoid sanctions.
And Kyrgyzstan prospers until after the war stops. But we've got one more twist of the knife here. We have reason to believe that at this point, Donald Trump has hit the mark by calling Russia a paper tiger. Why did that hurt them, Michael?
Oh, it hurt them very much because for domestic audience, politically, they have to show that they are mighty winners of the war. They stand against the West, the entire West, the United States, the NATO, and they are winning and they are strong enough. And suddenly the President of the United States is saying that their military machine is a paper tiger. They cannot win the war. They've been fighting for 4 years to no avail. And their economy is declining. It is a paper tiger. It hurts. And so Russian President Putin and others are going out. It looks ridiculous from the outside, but they have to do it. They go out and beat their chest and they're saying, no, it's not true. We are not a paper tiger. We're strong. We're champions.
Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution. I tell one more anecdote. A colleague of mine traveled between Moscow and Petersburg and said, you can't see the war. You can't find it anywhere. Until another colleague of mine said, all he has to do is go to a gas station. The lines are around the block everywhere. Because of the war, because of Kyiv striking the refineries. Michael Bernstam, the Hoover Institution. The war came home to Russia, and it's in the Reuters reports.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.